Okay.
Let's very quickly review what we have done on Monday. We have talked about maritime transport, so all these topics. We are almost here. So the market segments, freight, passenger, the long distance, short distance, and maritime transport. We've talked about transport volumes, routes, ships, services. Yes, up to here. We have seen that the volume increases, the export volume increases, export rise quicker than the GDP growth. There is the more exports, the more is the seaborne trade of exports. So these are the traffic volumes. These are the reasons why the traffic volumes increased. So materials, globalization, technical improvements of economies of scale. Then we have discussed which goods are transported by ship, and this is the amount of containers. This is a detail of container by the main routes. This is short sea shipping markets. These are the main routes. Again, these are the type of routes, the three types of routes, port to port, pendulum, round of the world. This is an example of a round the world service, pendulum services. Then we have discussed the hub and spoke network, referring both to airlines and to maritime transport. Advantages, disadvantages. But I corrected this slide. Well, then we have seen the type of vessels for passengers, ferry, ocean liner, cruise ships, for freight, bulk carriers, dry bulk carriers, gear bulk carriers, combined carriers, gearless carriers, self-dischargers, liquid natural gas ships, lakers, container ships. Okay, we've seen the container ship, the large container ship, the tugboats, the history of the containers, what a container is, the boats, the tankers, the reefer ships, the roll-on, roll-off ships, barges, container barges, different characteristics of the ships, the world fleet, the increasing world fleet, the classification of the ships by beam and draft, various generation of ships, and finally we have seen the YouTube video on Emma Merckx. And that led us to the topic of ship gigantism. Gigantism, gigantism, gigantismo navale in Italian. Ship gigantism, so the ships that are getting bigger and bigger. Why are they getting bigger and bigger? They are getting bigger and bigger because they have economies of scale. This is a slide that shows the cost components for ships. And very large is fuel. In fact, if you remember from the video that we have seen, they were paying very much attention on staying on the time schedule, because when they wanted to make up for the lost time because of accidents and congestion, they had congestion in the Suez Canal, they had to increase the speed. Increasing the ship, the speed means consuming more fuel. And fuel is a very large part of their cost. These are port change, charges, and they have to pay. They have to pay to get to ports. They pay an access fee. So these are the charges. So these are the two main components. Administration is more, store, insurance. Of course, insurance is important. In fact, it is growing. Repair and maintenance. Yes, it's part of it. And money, the labor cost in this case, it's quite small. It's quite small. In fact, you remember they had not very many people, about 25, 30 people on board. Technically very well prepared, but not very many people. And this is the cost change in relation to the size measured in TEUs, 22 equivalent units, 4,000, 6,000, 10,000. So the three types of ships. And when you divide the total costs by the TEU, you get that actually per TEU, so per container, the cost decreases as the ship becomes larger and larger. So with 4,000 TEU, the estimate is that it would cost 2,250 euros, or dollars in this case, dollars per container, $2,000 per container, $1,400 per container. So there is a reason why the ships get bigger and bigger. Economies of scale. Economies of scale. Of course, we've seen also the problems of having such a big ship. The problems of managing the ship, organizing the ship, safety, balance of the ship, control of the ship, and organization of the containers on the ships. Yes, so the size grows, the speed was about, they talked about on the video, they talked about 40 kilometers per hour, if I remember correctly. Here I have this average number, the average speed. This is even lower than that. And the propelling, so the fuel went to steam, to diesel, it was diesel there. Gas is possible and nuclear only. And you remember that they had a problem with efficiency, with pollution, so trying to save as much as possible, to make as much as possible the ship efficient for environmental reasons, but also for economic reasons. Of course, specialization, we talked about that with the different ships, design, that's another important topic, so that they have to be safe, they have to last long, so they are constantly improving on the materials that they build them, and automation. We've seen on the big EMMA that they had a lot of electronics. Self-unloading, computer-assisted navigation, so they had a global position, a lot of electronics on these ships. So that means that this is a sector that is very much capital-intensive. It's not labor-intensive, this is very much capital-intensive. So sea transport, maritime transport, is capital-intensive. Yes, we didn't yet discuss this, but it was a little implied. Liner services are the regular schedule. So the ships that go like Emma, that used to go continuously, constantly, regularly on the same line. Or when you have a ship that goes on a voyage basis, so only when there is a need, no, they organize the ship like a charter. This, it's called tramp services. This is a tramp. So liner and tramp, these are the typical names. Feeder, already Spain, in hub and spoke. You have a feeder services, the small ship that gets the containers from the big ships, and then they feed the other ports. Cabotage is when you have a service between ports of the same economic region, within Italy or within Europe. Yes, here you have the distinction bulk versus containerized. Now, HEMA we've seen is containerized. Bulk, we have a bulk bulk when you have not containers but grains, energy, minerals, something that is a bulky good that is carried by the dedicated ships. Okay, and so here there is a comparison between the two types of ships. I wanted to stress another aspect, but it's not here. So maybe it's on a previous slide. The aspect is, as the ships get bigger and bigger, there are fewer ports that they can actually call. We have seen this movement of the ships getting bigger and bigger, right? Because here, this was the number of ships, and this was the average size in tonnage. So the ships get bigger and bigger. That means that the ports should also get bigger and bigger. But the ports, especially the historical ports, the Italian ports, are limited in size, are limited in land is available for port operation. Most of the times they are within cities. So this poses, and we'll discuss that, this poses a problem for the ports. So this gigantism, this tendency of the ships to become bigger and bigger, they pose serious problems for the ports, because the ports have to adjust also in terms of number of infrastructure, number of cranes available to load the number of the ships. So it's quite difficult for, but we'll discuss that later. So we were here. We were in regulations, but not a regulation. We went into financing. Do you think that this is a sector that requires a lot of public subsidies? This is financed by the state. We've seen that there is one sector that requires a lot of public funding. That is highways. Road. Yes, there is public funding on road, but on roads, not on the vehicles itself, not on the operations, on the infrastructure. What about here? What about this sector? Public, private, ports. Well, the infrastructure is in the ports, right? So the infrastructure is in the ports. So all construction work, equipment that is required by ports could be financed by the states. If the port is public, because there is also the possibility to have private ports. Like there are private ports, not in Europe, but in Britain and in Asia, there are private ports. As for the ships themselves, they usually, we used to have national enterprises. Lloyd Triestina was a state-owned company, but now it's gone. So there is no capital, public capital invested in companies, so it's all mostly private. So the companies have to find themselves financing to build, run these ships. So there is some public, but maybe not as much as in the railways. And what are the companies that run this business? This is a list that is rather old, yes. So maybe the ranking is not exactly that yet, but the names are more or less the same. Orient Overseas, Mitsui, based in Tokyo, based in Hong Kong, Nippon, based in Tokyo, Hanin, based in South Korea. Well, last year, I think Hanin got very serious financial problems, so he went bankrupt. I don't know what happened to Hanin now. Then you have APAG, based in Germany. China Ocean Shipping Container Line, based in China. Evergreen, that's active in Trieste as well, based in Taiwan. CMA, based in Marseille, but with North American headquarters in Virginia. CMM, CGM. Mediterranean Shipping Company, based in Switzerland, Geneva. And but the owner of this shipping company is actually Italian. He's actually from Naples, a Ponte. I don't know if you heard about it. And he was the second largest. And then you have the what was the largest? What is the largest? Maybe this is the Maersk, Møller Maersk, the one that owned Emma, Emma Maersk. And this is based in Copenhagen, Denmark. But this is actually, it's established 1904, but it's a company, it's an international company. It's mostly funded by US funds. So what do we see here? We see some international companies with international funding based in either in Europe, in North America, and Japan, Korea, and China. So I don't know how big they are listed now, but these are the ones. So what kind of a market we have? Monopoly, competition, oligopoly. I would say more oligopoly, at least among the big companies. Then there are small companies, of course, not specializing oil or LPG or tram services. There are some small ones, but these are the big container shipping companies. So these are the big names. A very interesting thing that's happening in this market, it's the fluctuation in the shipping rates, so the cost of transporting a container. As you can see here, it's rather, compared to 94, stable or declining or sharp decrease in the rate. And this is the continuous commodity index. So more and more goods are produced and transported, but the costs are actually stable or declining or sharply declining. Let's read. From a cargo value transport cost per TEU proposition, the container shipping of commodity has become more advantageous. And this is even after the sharp correction that took place in 2008 due to the unfolding financial crisis. This correction also had a deflationary impact on container shipping rates. So the spread between the evolution of the price of commodities and the price of commodities and container shipping rates remains significant. So the price of the commodities goes up, the cost of transporting the commodities is stable or goes down. Why is that so? And do they still make a profit out of this business, these big companies? Well, actually, they have quite a hard time. They have a difficult time. This is a This is a graph that shows the fleet new orders by type of ship. So let's see the containers. The containers, 1976, they went down, up, down, then up, 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 up again. So the capacity, the world capacity in container ship went increasing very much and then it went down. So there were no orders, they stopped. Huh? They stopped the orders, the orders went down. And this is pretty much so with all the types of ships. Huh? So when the economy grows, the orders go up, and then the economy stops, and the orders collapse. Decline. And this is the dry bulk market cycles. So this is the cycles in the dry bulk index. Before I show you this, I tell you what's a dry index, dry bulk index is. This is the most famous dry index. It's called the Baltic Dry Index. It's an economic indicator issued daily by the London-based Baltic Exchange. It's not restricted to the Baltic Sea. This is the historical name, Baltic Dry Index from the Baltic Sea, but it provides an assessment of the price of moving the major raw materials by sea. So this is the cost or the price of transporting by ship. This is, it took 23 shipping routes, I guess the main shipping routes, and so they constructed this index that's also subdivided by type of ships. So this index measures the demand for shipping capacity versus the supply. No, as a price, it's determined by the demand and the supply. How the changes in demand and supply. And this index is also seen as an efficient economic indicator for future economic growth and production. Why? When the index grows, means there is more demand for moving goods than the supply, then increase in the supply. So that means that there is a lot of economic activity, a lot of willingness to send goods here and there. So it's also interpreted as an indicator of the economic activity, of the economic growth. Okay? So how is the index going? Here I gave you the graphs. This is from 85 to 2013. And what we actually see is that, well, rather stable, started fluctuating, went up, up, up before 2008, and then collapsed, and then up again, and then down again. So what are the shipping companies, when are the shipping companies making profit? When are they, because their costs are rather stable, right? We've seen the cost. The costs are fuel costs, well, so the price of petrol also fluctuated. Then the cost of the ship, and then they increase the size, so their costs actually decline. But in this period, so from 2006 to 2008, wow, the price of moving goods increased very much. That means that the demand for moving goods was very high. The capacity of the fleet was limited because it takes time to build the fleet, to build the ship. So the capacity was limited. So what did they do? They ordered ships. They asked for more ships because the prices were high, the demand was high, So they ask for more ships. A ship takes about 2 or 3 years to be built, this kind of container ships. So not long, but not a short period of time. So here they made a lot of money. There were not enough ships, the prices went up, everyone wanted more. Then all of a sudden, 2008, boom, collapse. Collapse, financial crisis, decrease in the number of goods that were asked to be transported, but they had the ships. The ships were keep coming. So the supply of ships was much higher than the demand of ships. And so the price went down. Then he recovered again a bit with the recovery, and then went down again. Okay. Well, this is from 2013 to 2017. So this is, and you see that it reflects. It reflects how the economy, the economy growing, collapsing, recovering, double dip, this kind of stories. How much is the index now? If you read it here, it's 1500. 1500, so we are about here now. So we are still with the prices for transporting containers that are quite low, average low. Well, it's more or less what they had over time. So these companies, the answer is that these companies made a lot of money in this part here, and then they started losing money. And that explains why Hanin went bankrupt. Because Korea had two major companies, and they didn't have enough demand for satisfying both of them, so one went into trouble. So they had this deep period of difficulty. Here it recovered, then went down, it's up again, and so on. So, so it's not, although there are not so many competitors, because there are 10 big competitors, this is not an easy business. This is not a business. Because of these fluctuations. And also, and a second reason why it's not an easy business, as we discussed last time, is because of the trade imbalances. Because it would be best when you sail full capacity in one direction and full capacity to the other direction. When the routes between Asia and Europe and Asia are balanced. But this is not the case, because this is Asia-US, Asia-Europe, and this is US-Asia, Europe-Asia. So there are more goods that want to come to Europe and US than goods that want to go to Asia. So that makes balancing out, designing the routes and balancing out the routes quite difficult for them. So that means volatility. So this trend, this fluctuations plus the imbalance means volatility. And so this is a sector, this is a type of transport, mode of transport, where you have a lot of cycles, shipping cycles. This is typical of what they face huge cycles. So this is the historical fluctuation of the cycle. And well, there are reasons for the cycles that we discussed. Some of them, this is the historical data about the cycles. So cycles that come and go, They follow the economy, but they are sharper than the economic cycles. Because when there is a demand, they build ships, huge ships, take a while to get the ships, then maybe there is the financial crisis, the ships are not needed, they just invested money, they ran into difficulties, they stopped building ships, then they had less ships, then it goes up again. So this adjusting supply and demand, it's very, very difficult in this type of sector. How do they respond to this? What do they try to do? Well, they organize conferences. What is a conference? A conference is an agreement among the companies where they fix the rates and where they try to fix the rates and where they share the capacity. So conference, strategic alliances, they share the capacity of the ships, joint services. So that means if you want to send something to Asia, you call up the agent, of course, not us. The shipping agent calls up the company. How much do you want to pay for sending this container? You talk to Evergreen. Evergreen says one price. Another company says another price, but at the end they share this information because they use the same ship to transport back to orders. So they allocate, they join the demand. So they share, and well, of course, this is good in terms of the number of ships that go around, so the reduced number of ships because the loading factor is higher, but it's good for them because they can better control the costs. So I guess that one other way to say is that this is an industry where there are huge indivisibilities. Indivisibility is a problem in economics, no? When you have a cost that cannot be split in parts and adjusted to the demand, then you have an indivisibility. And the bigger the ships become, the higher the indivisibility. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Big ships, okay, if this fuel is all right, perfect. Rate economies, if it is empty, then there will be problems. But you cannot reduce the ship, no? So it's very difficult. So that's why they responded with these alliances. Are these alliances legal? These are cartels, right? So they are not legal, but they are international cartels. And like OPEC, there is no authority to control over international cartels, so somehow they can get away with it. So that's how they actually behave. So this is it about, these are the main things, of course, there is more, but